Good deal. Well, it's great to be back, as Cheryl said, from holidays. Holidays are overrated. Really, I don't holiday well. Anyone else not holiday well? I don't holiday well at all, and kind of went to a little bit third world, not understanding I was going to third world, looking forward to a nice, quiet, relaxing holiday. And I kind of felt like, you ever been on a beach and you've seen a potato chip or a chip on the beach with about 30 million seagulls trying to get that one chip? That's what I felt like in Batong Beach the whole time. I felt like that chip. And it was fun for the first day. Second day it was okay. Third day it was like, I'm going to kill you. It was just like, it was crazy, crazy holiday. And so we're just so glad to be back home, and getting on the plane to come home was just the best thing in the world. It felt like Peter Allen. Was it Peter Allen? You get on that Qantas plane and it's like, oh, I'm home the moment I get on that Qantas plane. So good to see you. Good to see you. Turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you. It's always good to see someone. Good to be seen. We got a lot happening in church life. Where's Tim and Bryony? Would you please stand to your feet, Tim and Bryony? Stand to your feet for me. You know what's coming. Every time we have someone stand to their feet, they've done something big and something good. And this couple are announcing their engagement today. Why don't you give them a big hand this morning? Very excited for you. Congratulations, guys. That's a good deal. All the boys are having a men's night out soon. We're going to a pool night. And do you want me to turn this thing off and go to something else? Can you pass me that microphone there, please? And I'll get rid of my Madonna mic and go old school, which is good. Welcome back. We've got a men's pool night coming up in 2 weeks' time on a Tuesday night. For all the boys, we want to see you there. So make sure you're available for that night on a Tuesday night. Oh, did it have Tuesday on there? Oh, well, I'm only reading what I saw there. Sorry about that. It's on a Thursday, apparently. So don't turn up on Tuesday. You'll be early. It's on a Thursday, 2 weeks' time. Thanks, Mike. You should know. You're the men's leader. 2 weeks' time on a Thursday night. And it costs you a few bucks. It's not much at all, but it's a whole lot of fun to for all the boys. For our Connect groups, if you're involved in a Connect group, put up your hand if you're involved in a Connect group. If you're not, you should be. If you're involved in a Connect group, we've got a Connect group combined social night coming up, which means it's food, and BYO plate of food to share, a dish of food to share. We're going to have that at Joe and Deb's house, and so your Connect group leader will communicate with you directly via Facebook or whatever to let you know the address and details in terms of that. That's coming up. I think, is it next Tuesday? That's on. It's a combined social food night for all of our Connect groups. Well, today we're going to start a new thought and a new series of sermons. Oh, by the way, can I say thanks to our team, to all of our team who look after our services and look after our sound and look after our children's and our youth and young adults and women's and men's and everything like that, who all stand up really high whenever we go away and do an outstanding job. I did listen to the podcast of the sermon that Pastor Marichelle preached. I've listened to part one. I haven't listened to part two yet, because after listening to part one, I thought, goodness me, am I ever going to preach again? That was outstanding. Such a good sermon. What was it? Peace Under Pressure. And, you know, they've had a lot going on in their world in the last few weeks, and this week just moved into their brand new house, and it's just amazing. It's been a massive week. And so I want to say thank you to the entire team, but particularly Pastors Daryl and Marichelle for holding together the week stuff that goes on, and then Sunday service itself and preaching into that, because this stage is very important with what we do in terms of our church. And I love the fact that it steps up when I go away and it gets better and better and better, and I kind of feel like a part-time preacher when I come back. So thank you very, very much. Today we're going to continue. I've got to learn how to use this thing again. Today we're going to continue we're going to start a new series called Pray the Pain or Pray the Promise. Pray the Pain or Pray the Promise is what we're going to be talking about. Cheryl mentioned how important prayer is, and you know, prayer is an extremely important component of not only a church's life, but also the individual believer's life. Happy birthday, Juan. Give Juan a big happy birthday today.
saw him sitting on the front row thinking, he's forgotten me. No, I haven't. Happy birthday to you. Church prayer is extremely important. We want to step it up. We started the year with a time of prayer and fasting, which was horrendous. We had 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Who remembers that? 21 days, nearly killed us. And so we thought, well, maybe next time. You know what it's like when you start an exercise program? You always go for a big one first up, and then you think, oh, gee, that was too much. And that's kind of what I felt like after the 21 days. I thought, please, I can't do that again. I can't go without food that long. And so we've kind of designed our year so that we'd break it up a little bit. And so we've got a special week of prayer and fasting coming up in October, the week before our vision offering. And so we're going to designate that week as a special week to seek God and pray and go without food and just get a little bit closer to God in prayer. We're also going to start the year that way again for another 7 days at least. And then we've got a special emphasis coming up in our Connect groups starting for term four called the Circle Maker. That's what the video was that you probably missed because you were too busy talking to everybody during the greetings time. The video from Pastor Mark Battison called the Circle Maker. Now the Circle Maker is a series we're going to study in our small groups. We want to invite you to join a small group if you're not yet involved in one. So next weekend you'll have an opportunity to sign up. We'll have a desk for you to go to, a table for you to go to. Sign up your interest. We'll place you in a Connect group for term four as we speak together about prayer. Now, whenever the pastor speaks about prayer, I know what happens in church. A lot of people just go into sleep mode. You're like a computer, you go into that sleep mode. You're there, but you're not there. So today, I don't want you to be here, but not here. I want you to be present and participating in what we're doing today, because prayer is very, very important to the life of every believer. And I want to break it open in a brand new, fresh way is what I want to do, because I think a lot of what we've been taught about prayer has made it nigh impossible for us to have a healthy prayer life, just simply because of the way it's been designed and taught to us. And so I want to break it down, make it real, put it in the shallow end of the pool so we can all pray. Would that be a good deal? I think it'd be a great deal for us as individuals and as a church to step it up into a whole new level. And so the Circle Maker program is all about circling the promises of God and praying towards them. Circling the promises of God and praying towards them. And we're going to be talking about that. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer and its value in the life of a believer, also its value and its place and prominence in the life of God's church. And prayer is simply spending time having conversation, conversing, and enjoying intimacy with God. It's a time of getting to know God in terms of connecting and conversing. And I've discovered personally, not only personally, but also as a pastor for decades, that if there's any one area that believers struggle in terms of daily discipline of following Christ, it's prayer. And prayer is a 101 in terms of, it's a starting point in terms of developing your Christian faith and life and walk and journey with Jesus Christ. And yet we struggle with it so often. Even people that have been in the kingdom of God and the church for decades struggle with prayer and on a daily basis pressing in and getting to know God better. And I think it's simply because we've made the pattern so complicated, we've made the discipline so unachievable for people, that people simply don't know what to pray. And I see it all the time. We ask someone to pray publicly or whatever in a group, and people really struggle. And it's kind of like they go to their favorite hymn and quote a few words from there, and a verily, verily, and I say unto thee. They go into that whole King James Version language, or get this holy voice when they pray. And, you know, prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. And God simply just wants us to talk to Him and listen to Him. Talk to Him, and that's what a conversation is. A conversation is not you doing all the talking. A conversation is not you doing all the listening. A conversation is where one talks, one listens, and then the other person talks, and the other person listens. And simply, that's how prayer should best operate for every one of us. But I understand it's difficult. You know, prayer, it's not a church thing. It's not just what we do when we come to church. It's not even a private devotional time thing. Prayer is meant to be more a constant communication with heaven. Constant communication with heaven. And you have that ability to be constantly communicating with heaven. I think the reason most people struggle with prayer so much is because We kind of made it a model 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Dr. Larry Lee and Yong Yi Cho and a couple of big names in the church world at that time taught different models of prayer where they would teach you to pray for an hour a day. And as soon as you hear that, you think, gee, I haven't got an hour a day. Like I'm up early to go to work, I get home late at night, I'm flat out fitting that in, I got a wife, I got children, I got grandchildren, I got a social life, I've got friends I want to hang with, I've got food I want to eat, I got a lawn to mow, I got a garden to care for, I got a car to wash, I got a cat to look after, I got chickens, I got whatever, we've all got them, haven't we? We've all got those kind of, I won't call them excuses, but we've got those things in life, and finding a place to pattern prayer in is not easy. It's not easy because life knows no boundary nowadays. There's no margin for us, and we are time poor. And so I think what we have to do is learn to pray throughout the day. Throughout the day. In actual fact, what we need to learn to do is pray first. Everyone say pray first. Pray first. Pray first above everything. So every mum in the room, when you send your kids to school, pray. You don't have to pray for an hour. You don't have to go into your prayer closet. You just pray as the kids go out the door. Pray, God, be with my children today. Watch over them today. Protect them today. Bless my children today. Mark my children today. Keep them from all harm. Pray first. Pray when you make an investment. Pray when you buy a house. Pray when you're going to go into another step and level in life. Pray when you get married. Pray, 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 pray. Pray before you get married. Pray, 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 pray. When you are married, pray, 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 pray. You need to pray if you're going to make it today. You've got to pray. Pray first. Don't be religious about praying. Don't be religious about it. Just be natural. Walk around praying. You can be praying and people don't even need to know. You can sit in the cafe with your eyes open and pray. You don't need to shut your eyes and shake. You don't have to sit there like this. You don't have to bow your head. Just pray. It's just talking. See, when I'm talking to you, I'm just talking. And I'm looking at you. That's what we do with God. God doesn't need all that body language. God doesn't need all that form. He doesn't need all that ritual. He doesn't need all that religion. What he needs is and wants is relationship. He just wants us to relate naturally to him and with him and find a way to do it. You can do it in your car driving down the freeway. Pray. In actual fact, the way some of you drive, you need to pray. You need to pray a whole lot more. Pray. You can pray on your way to work. If you're time poor, make use of that time. I have 35 minutes in the car every morning on the way and 50 minutes home every night. It's time not to waste. It's time to say, hi God, remember me? Remember me? Hello, how are you? And just talk to God a little bit. You can just relax into developing a prayer life. I guarantee you, if you plan to pray an hour a day, you'll do it 3 days and you'll give up. But if you learn to pray throughout the day, prayer will become as natural as breathing, as natural as eating. We're good at that. As natural as eating and as natural as breathing. And that's how God wants us to learn to pray. It's a constant communication and conversation with God, involving God in everything that you do. Involving God in everything that you do at different moments throughout the day. I want to focus on a man called Jabez. We got him on the screen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Mentions a man called Jabez and one of the great prayers that he prayed in the Bible. It's only a short prayer. There's a number of great prayers. If we were going to choose the great prayers of the Bible, there's the prayer of Moses. There's the prayer of Jabez. There's the prayer of David in Psalm 51. Cleanse my heart, O God, and forgive me. There's the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. There's the prayer of the early church. There's so many good, solid prayers. I've chosen this one today because it's a great pattern for us in terms of learning how to pray. And it's a simple one that you can apply every single day of the week. First Chronicles. I don't know whether you've ever read the book of First Chronicles, but if you do devotions on a daily basis and you read through your Bible and have a Bible reading plan, you're going to come across First Chronicles. It's one of those books that will kill you when you read it. Seriously, it's 29 chapters. The first 12, wow, they're solid. First 12, all it says is, and someone begat someone. And someone begat someone. and he begat them, and they begat them. And it's just begat. What does begat even mean? I don't even know what it means, but there was a whole lot of begatting going on in the book of 1 Chronicles. 12 chapters, it just said they begat. It's all about genealogies. It starts all the way with Adam and Eve and works all the way down, and it mentions 600 names. And then right in the middle of mentioning 600 names of boring reading, like if you're doing that for your devotions, it's hard to get anything out of it that's going to bless you. Until you get to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, it's like the writer stops right in the middle of 600 names and gives particular mention to one man. And it stops on his name, it stops on no other, just his. And it says this: Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And then it says, Jabez cried out. In other words, he prayed. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, our God, and said, "Oh God, that you would bless me." Bless me. It's my first prayer. Bless me. And enlarge my territory. Give me influence. Let your hand be with me. I want your presence, was what he was praying. And keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. Jabez is no stranger to many of us in the room. Many of us know, as the Bible says, that his name means pain. Could you imagine this kid growing up? Like in his culture, everybody's name meant something, and they knew the meaning of your name behind your name when your name was said. And so Jabez, every time he was in the school playground, it's pain. Could you imagine the ridicule this kid had, the social kind of issues that he developed as he was growing up in the neighborhood, the bullying, the mocking, the mimicking that would have gone with his name. Imagine the issues that he grew up with because of this label that identified him. You know, the truth is, every one of us grow up with labels. Labels that others give us, labels that others put on us, because of things we've done, things we've said, places we've been, failures we've had, sin we've been involved in, labels that others give us. Then we have the labels that we label ourselves with because of we know ourselves better than anyone else knows us. So we label and we limit and we define ourselves by that name that is given over our lives. And what happens for every single individual is this, is we begin to walk out the script of those labels. We walk out that script in our lives and we live defined by that name that's over us. And this is what was happening with Jabez. He had walked out these issues. He'd walked out this literal pain that was upon his life for many, many years until he comes to this point of praying this amazing prayer. Do you know, friend, there's something that has labeled you. There's something that's labeling you right now. There's something that's labeling your relationship. There's something that's labeling your faith. There's something that's labeling your family. There's something that labels your family line. There's labels, there's names that have been placed over us that define us and that become a script for our life. Maybe it's bankruptcy. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's failure. Maybe it's brokenness. Maybe it's sin. A name or a label that sits over you and people mark you by it. They remember you by it. They define you by it. They say that's who you are. And that's what it was for Jabez. His mother said, "You're a pain. You were born in pain." The truth is, we should all be called Jabez because we're all born in pain. But his mum named him Pain. And so he lived this out for many years of his life until he got to a stage one day where he said to himself, "My name is Pain, but I don't want to be Pain. I don't want to be Pain anymore." And so he decided to change the frame of his name. He decided to change the script of his life. He decided to lift the trajectory of where his future was headed by having a sense of change about how he saw himself. And so it says that he cried out to the God of Israel. Friends, this is what prayer is. Prayer is crying out to God for things to change. Prayer is crying out to God for his promise to be fulfilled. It's not just spending a block of your day to tick it off and say, "Well, I've prayed." Pray first. pray first. Pray before everything that you do, every significant moment and decision of your life, every significant thing that you want to do. Get on your knees, pray to God, cry out to the God of Israel. If you don't like where you are, pray. If you don't like who you are, pray. If you don't like what's happening, pray. If you want to have a tomorrow, pray. If you want to enjoy a brighter future, a bigger future, pray. If you want to pass on something to your children that's worth having, pray, 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 pray. Cry out to the God of Israel. Here's why. He listens. He listens. I love the fact that in the middle of 600 names, the writer stopped at Jabez to give him honorable mention. And it says that he was more honorable than all of his brothers because he looked to the God of Israel to deliver him from his situation and from his circumstances. So his name was not a good name. It was a name that meant pain. But his plea and his prayer was that God would deliver him from pain. I don't know what's going on in your world today, but I do know this. There's not a person in the room that doesn't want to be delivered from pain. Yeah. Just close your eyes for a moment. There is not a person in this room that does not want to be delivered from pain today. And I want to say to every heart and every home and every individual today, God is the remedy of your pain. He really is. No matter what life has done to you or what you've done to life or people have labeled you with or you've labeled yourself with, God is a deliverer of pain. And we can learn a lesson from Jabez, our friend today, who literally lived pain and was pain and his name meant pain, to lean into the heart of God and to cry out that we would be delivered from our pain. Would you open your eyes? You know the problem with pain is when you've got pain, all you do is talk about pain. You ever notice that people with pain are a pain? Because all they talk about is pain. All the time. And when you're in pain and you pray, guess what you pray? You pray the pain. And the trouble with praying the pain is all you're doing is reinforcing it. You're just reminding yourself. There is a time to pray the pain, and then there's a time to put the pain away and pray the promise. And this is the season we're coming into as a church. We want to circle the promises of God. We want to put a circle around what God has said is ours, what God has promised is ours, and we're going to fight the good fight of believing God to fulfill the promise of God. And we are going to cry out to the God of Israel to deliver us from pain and stop talking about pain, stop promoting pain, stop giving pain a prominent place and pass it on to God so that we can receive the promise. I love the fact that Jabez prayed through his pain. You know, praying through your pain is one of the hardest things to do. But if you don't pray through your pain, you're never going to circle the promise. God has already circled the promise and said it's yours, but we've got to get through the shadow of pain before we receive the promise. And so pain cried out, Jabez cried out, God bless me, God enlarge me, God be with me, and God keep me. And it says, and God granted his request. Here's our pattern for prayer. Number one, pray every day for blessing. Pray every single day for blessing. It's not wrong to pray for blessing. It's actually the right thing for us to do to pray for blessing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, it says that Jabez prayed, oh God, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would bless me. It's not selfish to be praying, bless me. It's not selfish. You need to be blessed. If you're not blessed, you cannot live a blessing to other people. We need to be blessed. We must be blessed by the hand of God. The Hebrew word for blessing here is the word barak. It means it's a picture. It's a picture of God stooping to give us something that he has that we need. And I want to remind you today that God's got a lot of things that he has that you don't have, and there are things that you need. And God is the kind of God that if he has it, he's going to give it to you. That's what the Bible says. He's a father that wants to give you every good and perfect gift, is what the Bible says. And so God wants to stoop to give us everything that we need. So prayer is simply asking God for the things we need, for provision, for our daily provisions. Friends, God wants to bless us with health. That's a blessing. Cheryl prayed for it before, for health and wholeness and healing. God wants to bless us with health. He wants to bless us with ideas and imagination He wants to bless us with opportunity and creativity and favor and His goodness. He wants to bless us with peace, as Pastor Marichal was preaching. He wants to bless us so much, but He doesn't want to just bless us so that we would be blessed. His plan is not just to bless us so that we would be blessed. He wants to bless us so much more than that. Look at this psalm says. Psalm 18:35 says, "You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great." You stoop down to make me great. You know, God's not beyond stooping down for you. God wants to stoop down to bless us. Stoop down to bring heaven to us. Stoop down to bring His favor and His goodness and His blessing to every single one of us. God wants to give us what He has that we don't have, that we need to live our lives the way He intended for us to live us. So live it. So prayer is choosing to live from a script of His promise, not your pain. To put the pain script away and to possess the promise script in terms of the way we pray. See, you can pray your pain, and there is a time to pray your pain, but you need to pray through your pain and pray towards the promise of God, because it kind of determines the label that we wear. Whether I'm going to live under the defeat, whether I'm going to live under the pain of circumstances and situations, or whether I'm going to live under the promise. And prayer, when I pray this prayer of God blessing me, prayer is simply coming to a name and a label that's higher than mine, that's higher than the circumstance, that's higher than the struggle, that's higher than the situation that I find myself in life. It's coming to the name of Jesus, and the Bible says His name is a name that's above every other name. It says His name is a name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a label, it's a name, it's an authority that I want over my world and over my life, to call on the name of Jesus. Jabez recognized this and he cried out to the God of Israel. The Bible says you have been given a name. You have been given a name. We've been given a name to pray to. We've been given a name and a label and an authority over our lives that conquers everything that we face and everything that restricts, that holds us, to keep us small. And so God's plan, it's to bless us. His promise is to bless us, not so that we'd just be blessed, but that we would learn to live to be a blessing. Learn to live to be a blessing. In Genesis 12, it's a promise that God gave to Abraham, the father of our faith. And it was this: I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And I will make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. You know why God blesses us? To make us a blessing. It's not about us having more so that we would have more. That's greed. That's garbage. That's rubbish. That's wrong. That's so false biblically, you couldn't get it any more wrong. God blesses us so that we would have, so that we would give and be a blessing to our world and to other people. The truth is, God is looking for people to give through, not just people to give to. God's looking for people to give through so that He can give to. If God can give it to you and through you, He'll give it to you. Be a channel. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a channel. Be a channel. And so the first prayer that I think we all need to learn to pray on a daily basis, it doesn't take you an hour to pray it. It's a phrase. You can pray around it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you want. The prayer is, God bless me so I can live to be a blessing to others. Bless me so I can live a blessing to others. I want to be a blessing to others. Bless me, God. It's a good prayer. It's not a selfish prayer, because it's got the tag. I want to live to be a blessing to other people. I want to live a blessed life and I want to be a blessing to others. The second prayer that we pray and that Jabez prayed was this, was pray for influence. Let me get there. I've been away for 2 weeks, peeps. I finished my sermon. Am I doing this or are you doing that, Brad? Okay, can you get me back to influence? Oh, thank you. Thank you, my friend. Pray for influence. Pray for influence. We're going to fix this up real soon, I promise you. We're going to take this out of the hands of the pastor. We've got a TV coming on stage so that it will help me. Pray for influence. His prayer was, 1 Chronicles 4:10, God, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. It's okay to pray to get big. It's okay to pray to get big in life. It's okay. God does not have a problem. It says God granted him his request. God's okay with you praying for your business to be enlarged, your influence to be enlarged, your career to be enlarged. God's okay with you praying for an extension of your influence in life. You know, the truth is, when God blesses you and you have more, the expectation is that you would do more. That's the expectation. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. So with blessing comes responsibility. A responsibility, as I said before, to be a blessing with others. That's the whole purpose of blessing, is to be blessed, to be a blessing, and to extend our influence into the world. So we need to pray for influence. Pray for influence. God wants to stretch us, and God wants to expand us. You know, I think that every one of us needs to have an awareness, really have our eyes open to the fact that God's got a bigger life than just the life we're currently living. He's got a bigger life for all of us, a life beyond us. To live purpose-filled, not problem-free. The goal of a lot of people is to live problem-free. I don't know when you do that. I'm not exactly sure how that happens in terms of being problem-free. But I do know how to live purpose-filled. Purpose-filled. And I actually think it's more of a priority and it's more fulfilling for a human being to live purpose-driven and purpose-filled rather than problem-free. In actual fact, I think the more purpose you have, the more problems you have. Purpose brings with the package problems. It presents problems because of the purpose that's on your life. If you don't have any purpose, there's no problems because there's no priority. There's no focus. There's no goal. There's no vision. There's no dream. There's no need for alignment. But when you're full of purpose, everything is important. Everything is important. You look at an athlete who is full of purpose and wants to go to the Olympic Games. They are purposeful in everything that they do. Their sleep is important. It's a priority. They're not out partying all night. They're not doing that. There's a time for that, but they're in preparation mode. So they're in bed early. They're getting their sleep. They're up early. They're into their exercise program, their routines, their rituals. Everything they put in their mouth is a priority. They're fueling their body. They're feeding their body. Unlike me. I eat to enjoy. What happens when you don't have purpose in those areas is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do because there's no purpose. Don't make it about living problem-free. Make it all about living purpose-filled and purpose-driven, no matter what age in life you are or stage in life you are. Paul prayed this in terms of our influence. He prayed in Ephesians 1:18, he says, he prayed it for the church. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He says, I pray you'd know the hope to which he has called you. You know, hope and calling are inseparable. They are inseparable. You can't find hope until you know why you're here. So you know what the calling of God is on your life. And when you know that, you have a sense of hope and confidence about the kind of person you are to be and the life you are to live. He speaks of inheritance here. Our inheritance. You know what our inheritance is? It's people. It's people. It's all about people. It's not about land and buildings. They're part of it. It's people. Everything we do is for people. It's not about a function. It's about people. It's not about a title. It's about people. And so God's got a purpose for every one of our lives, and until we find it and we do it, we're going to live our lives putting out fires everywhere and just being miserable. Purpose doesn't mean you won't have problems, but it does mean you're going to have a priority. And we all need a priority in our lives. So we can live pain or we can live purpose. It's a choice. And so here's our next prayer. Our next prayer for every day is, God, show me your purpose so I can live a life bigger than my own. Show me your purpose so I can live a life that's bigger than my own. What a great prayer. Pray for blessing. God, bless me so I can be a blessing to others. God, show me your purpose so that I can live a life bigger than my own. The next thing that he prayed for in Chronicles was he prayed for the presence of God. He prayed for the presence of God to be with him. He said, let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me, was what he prayed. Literally praying for the presence of God to be upon his life. You know, the hand of God represents the presence of God. The hand of God represents the presence of God. In Acts chapter 11, it says this, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The Lord's hand was with them. If there's any hand you want on your life, it's God's. You want God's hand on your life, individually, as a family, corporately, as a church. We want the hand of God on us. It represents the presence of God in all we do. And there's a sense that, as believers, we need to learn to carry the presence of God. Moses knew it. In Exodus 33, it was his prayer. Where he says, Moses says to God, he says, if your presence, God, does not go with us. Well, this is when God was sending him to deliver the Israelites out of 400 years of slavery. Moses says, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us. Do not send us up from here. I'm not going without you. He said, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And what else? What else, God? What else is there that will distinguish me and our people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have said. Same as he said to Jabez, I'll do the very thing. I will grant you your request. Moses prayed, God, I'm not going unless you come. And this needs to be our attitude in life, that we know that we know that we know that we know that we need God to be with us, to be on us, to be in us. And this is what prayer is. Prayer is praying to carry the presence of God, that you carry it to work, that you carry it to every space in life that you're involved in, that you would carry the very presence of God. That's what we do. We carry the presence of God with us, and we need to carry the presence of God with us. We need to be desperate for us. So here's our third part of our prayer for every day is, God be with me. It's too big for me. If you don't understand it's too big for you and that you need God, then the eyes of your heart have not been opened. When the eyes of your heart are opened, you understand that what God has called you to do is too big for you. And you need a little bit of help. You need a helping hand. And that helping hand represents the very presence of God on our lives. And so our prayer is, God be with me. It's too big. I can't do it without you. I need you. I need you every hour. I need you in the morning. I need you in the noonday. I need you in the night. We used to sing it in church. Who remembers that? Eons ago. I need you every hour. We need God more than we think we need God. You know, the trouble with that is this. If we think we don't need God, then the reality is it's all up to me. It's all up to us. And if it's all up to us, God help us. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble if it's all up to us. We need the hand of God. What else will distinguish us? What else will set us apart as the people of God besides the presence and the person of God? And so our prayer is, God be with me. It's too big for me. And so our prayer is, God bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. Our prayer is, God, enlarge my territory. Give me influence. Give me influence, God, so I can do something good in this life. Thirdly, our prayer is, God, I need your presence. Be with me. It's too big for me. When you've prayed those three, get ready for the last one, because here's probably your most important prayer. When you're blessed, when you're enlarged, when you have the presence of God, you need to pray for protection. This is the last part of the prayer. I'm going to pray for protection. You need to pray for protection. Jabez said, and God, keep me from harm. Keep me, was his prayer, from harm. He prayed for the protection of God. He prayed for the blessing of God. He prayed for the influence, the presence, and also the protection of God over his lives. The Bible tells us we have an enemy. It speaks of him in 1 Peter 5:8. It says this, it says, your enemy, the devil. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He devours. He pounces. He waits. He looks for opportunity. and we need to fight him with the name and the label that is above every name, that is above every label, that is above every issue, that is above every problem, that is above every circumstance, that is above every situation, that is above every past, that is above every story, that is above everything that you've ever done, everywhere you've ever been, that name, that label, the name of Jesus, that everything bows to and everything stops to, everything. And we need to bring it to Jesus and cry out to the God of Israel to be our blessing, to be our provision, to be our empowerer, and to also be our protector. The Bible says the enemy, he is the enemy of our soul. But here's the promise. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 37. It says, who shall separate us? Can I have our team come to stage, please? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, we don't, in our day and age, have a lot of trouble with some of these things that Paul was talking about. But in his day, in his time, he did. Trouble and hardship all around, persecution, all around. Famine was a problem. Nakedness was a problem. Danger and sword. I don't know what your problems might be. Your problem might be a mortgage. Your problem might be debt. Your problem might be I don't have income. Your problem might be I can't get a job. Your problem might be I'm stuck. Your problem might be I'm miserable. Your problem might be I'm pain. Your problem might be I'm really depressed. I'm discouraged. Sick of life. Sick of living. Your problem might be I'm afraid. Your problem might be I'm scared. Your problem might be I can't sleep. Your problem might be I have health issues. Your problem might be I have cancer. Your problem might be I'm dying. I don't know what your problem is. But what I do know is that there's a promise for you. And the promise is who and what shall separate you and I from the love of Christ. There's nothing. It doesn't matter what the label is, what the report is. It will not separate you from the love of Christ. In all these things, writes Paul, we are more than conquerors. Would you stand to your feet with me? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm asking you to stand because you just feel like more empowered when you stand. I'm asking you to stand because you feel like a conqueror when you stand. This is what Paul's asking us to do. He's asking us to stand up. He's asking us not to lay down. He's asking us not to pull back. He's asking us not to give up. He's asking us not to fall into depression. He's asking us to have the eyes of our heart opened by coming to God and understanding that God's got a promise. You might have pain. He said, my God's got a promise. And that promise is you will be more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves us. Who loves us. Why do I need to pray? I'll tell you why I need to pray. Why do I need to pray every day? This is why I need to pray every day. Because I've got an enemy. I've got an enemy. You got an enemy. Need to pray every day because of problems. Need to pray every day to get perspective. Need to pray every day because of the past. I need to pray every day because I need His presence. I need to pray every day because I want to live in blessing. I need to pray every day because I want to circle the promise of God. I need to pray every day. I don't pray because it's a religious thing. I don't pray because it's a ritual. I don't pray for a set block of time and tick it off and think, well, I've done praying, now I can go and play. No, I pray. Pray first. Before you sign that document, before you make that agreement, before you make that promise, pray. When you get that report, pray. Prayer is simply talking to God. And when you pray, God notices. God didn't notice anyone else in that list of 600 names but one. The man that prayed. the man that prayed. Everybody else got a mention. He got an honorable mention. Would you close your eyes? An honorable mention. God's a God that listens. He just wants you to talk to Him. So our final prayer is, Lord, strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. You can pray that driving down the freeway. You can pray that as you're doing the dishes. You can pray that as you sit at your desk. You can pray it before you send that email. And you probably should. Pray it. Lord, strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. We have two choices in prayer. We can either make it all about what we want to talk about, our pain, and just have God on the other end of the phone, as it were, listening to our pain, going, oh, I know, I know, I know. And God will do that. Or you can make the choice to circle the promise and refuse to make it all about the pain, the past, and the problems. You can talk to God about what He wants to talk about. And I can tell you now, what God wants to talk about is what He's done for you. And what He wants to do for you. And what He has that you need. And He has so much that you need. Jabez didn't make it about the pain. He didn't make it about the past. He made it about the potential. He made it about the promise. He made it about the power of God to work in his life and in his world. To take him to a better place, a brighter place, a bigger place. See, prayer is not about getting God moving towards us. Prayer is about getting us moving towards God. And we need to move closer to God. And so as a church, we're going to come into a season of moving closer to God through prayer. It's not a magic wand. It's not the panacea that's going to make everything perfect and wonderful for us as individuals or as a church. But it's getting us moving closer to God and closer to the promise of God for our lives. Start circling the promise. Rather than circling the wagons in defeat, circle the promise, unleashing the potential and the power of God to do something in our world, in our circumstances, and in our lives. So prayer is about embracing His blessing, His influence, His presence, and His protection. When it comes to prayer, I think the most important prayer we pray is the prayer of getting our heart leaning towards heaven. And if you're in this room today and this whole church experience is a new thing for you, and you're sitting here and listening to me speak to you and thinking, I have no idea what he's rabbiting on about. I have no idea. I remember something about the Lord's Prayer when I was a kid, but I really have no idea what this preacher's talking about. But can I speak to you for a moment? Can I say to you today that everything I've been talking about today is for you? That God has a lot that you don't have that you need. And the problem for a lot of human beings is we don't even realize we need what God has. Because we think we're all that. We think we've got it all worked out. We think we're all good. We're all okay. We're all fine. God's got a life for you. He's got a path for you. He's got a journey for you. It's never too late to get on it. And God wants to give you a moment right now. I'm going to give you a moment right now. For you to make a response to God and pray a prayer that's the most important prayer that you could ever pray. It's a prayer of inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. It's not a religious thing. You're not joining the church. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my world. I don't understand everything, but I'm just conscious that I need you. And here's the deal. God's already done everything He needs to do for you to come and have connection and relationship and life with Him. He wants to forgive us of our past and our sins and our failings. Those labels that people have put on us and the labels that we put on ourselves, He wants to forgive them over us. But it takes a heart response that will say yes to God, yes to Jesus. And that's simply the invitation I'm giving you right now. If you've not made this decision, right now is your invitation to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. This is how it works in our church. We don't embarrass you. We don't parade you. We don't bring you up on stage. We're not introducing you to everybody as a new believer. What we do is this. Is I'm going to ask you in a moment while everybody else has their eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to place your hand nice and high in the air so I can see it. I'm going to ask you to look me right in the eye. I'll acknowledge you. I'll ask you to put your hand down. I'm then going to pray a prayer on your behalf that I want you to own. And it's a prayer of asking Jesus to come and forgive you of your sins. I want you to know God loves you more than you love yourself. God's ready to embrace you and forgive you. Come and get involved in your world and your life. All he needs is a yes. And when he gets that yes, the rush of heaven comes. The rush of heaven comes into your heart. And the Bible says that God changes you. He changes you. He changes you. The change you've looked for is the change you'll only find on your knees as you turn your heart towards heaven. And this is your moment. Maybe you've made this decision years ago and you've fallen away from relationship with God. Well, this is your moment. You can make this decision right now. And so while every eye is closed, every head bowed, if this is a prayer you want to pray, this is your moment. Would you please lift your hand nice and high in the air? Open your eyes, look me right in the eye. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Would you include me in this prayer? I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I don't understand everything. I just know I need him. And as long as you know you need him, that's good enough to start the journey with God. Just quickly, right across this hall, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you today. I want to include you in this prayer, in this moment. Nice and high. Let me see your hand. Let me pray for you today. Last time, if that's you, right across this hall, lift your hand nice and high and let me pray for you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have everyone look at me right now? I spoke about prayer today because I want us to learn how to pray. Yesterday, the ladies had a morning breakfast and they spoke about devotions. There's two important things you need to do every day. Learn to read your Bible and talk to heaven. Read your Bible and talk to heaven. You can spend 15 minutes reading your Bible with a Bible reading plan. Learning to journal, take some notes. I'm happy to help anyone with that. You want to do a little class with that for a night? Happy to do that. Show you how I do it. Teach you how to do it. I just think there's some stuff we need to learn to do every day that's going to keep us going all the way. Every day, all the way. Pray first. Can you go home with that mantra? Pray first. Just stop and think and pray. You get in that car to take that trip? Pray. You go on that holiday? Pray. You plan that holiday to Phuket? Pray. God, pray. You get to Phuket? Pray. We're going to have a God moment, Jolly. What are we seeing? It all revolves around the throne. I know we've gone a bit long, but I've been away and haven't talked much for 2 weeks. No one had let me preach to them over there. Let's sing. Let's sing our way towards heaven right now. Come on, lift up your hands. Oh.